This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and you might even find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Gigi Perez. I'm Megan Aftermat, and I'm here with host Sam Sumpter at WFUV. Sam, I love Gigi Perez so much. Her music is so good. Her voice is so unique and so beautiful. Talk to me about listening to her play in our studio live and also what it was like to chat with her and have a conversation with her about her work.
Well, I will say, first off, you're definitely not the only person who loves and is obsessed with her, like beyond everyone I think in the studio who either already loved her or fell in love with her.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. But also the fans that she's amassed via TikTok. Personally, I'm not on TikTok. I feel like I can't have another thing, but it's been a really incredible platform for her, and the way her songs have gone viral enabled her to reach such audiences and, you know, sing about a lot of things like her queerness, about, you know, grieving over her sister who she lost, and just these beautiful, heartfelt, really smart, sincere, beautiful lyrics. The internet's a wild place, but she really feels like she's connecting directly with you when she sings. And I've been at home in my apartment and I can hear my neighbor listening to Gigi Perez. I'm like, she really is everywhere. And she came in and was just sensitive and smart.
So we're going to hear a couple songs from her. What are we going to hear first from this session?
So first up, we're going to hear Sometimes from Gigi Perez live in Studio A.
Romeo, spoke me like I'm the last backward you'll have in your life. Take your time, love me right. I know you've seen a lot of things, that's why we get along so well. A hard time, but you know I hate when people look at what's mine, what's mine, oh, what's mine. And tell me that you meant it when you said there was no one else that you were thinking of back then. You say it didn't mean to make me cry, but I don't believe that sometimes, 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 sometimes I wonder, oh, sometimes I wonder. Oh, does it matter though? Sometimes I wonder, oh, sometimes I wonder, ooh, it doesn't matter.
I'm Sam Sumpter at WFUV for FUV Live Sessions. So excited to welcome Gigi Perez, who's here with us today. What's up, Gigi?
Hi, how are you?
I am so good. So excited to have you here. Welcome back to New York. How does it feel to be back in your own stomping grounds?
I mean, there's nothing like it. Every single time there's a show here, it's amazing to see all of my friends and family. So it's definitely like everything right now.
Well, I want to go back a little bit. So this is back in 2021. Mm-hmm. This song came out a lifetime ago. Sometimes parentheses, backwards. I never know how to say that.
No, me either. I'm like, it's sometimes it's backwards, sometimes it's sometimes.
Sometimes it's sometimes, yes. Tell us a little bit about it.
Sometimes I wrote in a, it was such like a weird time because it probably was probably 6 or 7 months after my sister passed away. And I think I was in school at the time too, like doing online classes, Zoom. And I just sat in my bedroom one day and I was like, roll me up, smoke me like. And it clicked because it was something that somebody had told me. This person had said to me that they wanted to roll my voice up and smoke me. Or like something like that. I don't know. And so like I was thinking about him and I took it and I ran with it. And then, you know, it tumbled on to be everything it was. And I think that that was the true glitter that came down in my life when I really needed it. You know, it brought me here. So
I know as an artist, you've been working hard for years and years, but just this kind of meteoric track you've been on is pretty wild.
It is. I mean, I didn't see it coming. You know, I just came from being independent for a year. And I think it was just a really great reset for me. You know, I moved back home to Florida for a little while. And yeah, it just like did not imagine a billboard.
Like, that was not.
I did not. And like, especially like all the topics that are coming out of the songs and the music right now. I'm like, I couldn't make this up because it means so much to me.
Yeah.
It like everything that I'm speaking about in the music right now are like things that I'm going to therapy for, crying over, like really dealing with on a visceral personal level. And to see the support from other people in the world and the community for a very isolating experience is just like, it's phenomenal. It's just amazing.
You know, that's the beautiful part too, is, you know, having that community and the way that music can bring people together. Because I'm sure on the flip side, like, they feel so heard by your experiences. And I think, you know, lyrics maybe can be fiction, but music is still memoir either way. And when you're writing about a specific experience, it's still, you know, relating to the universal human experience and these emotions that people have had. So what is kind of your songwriting process as you're going through? Is that the therapy itself as well?
It's definitely a part of it. And I think it's always been. I think back to when I was just starting to write music. And prior to that, I was doing Tumblr poetry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And
the original TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. It was like the Tumblr poetry, like just being like closeted. And, you know, it's like the like Marina and the Diamonds Tumblr, like the neighborhood. I was like 15, like at the time. The way that just making poems helped me and reading other people's entries and things like that, it was my escape. Like I remember being like in English class or like any class and being on my iPad and like on Tumblr, like just kind of like locking out because I was so desperate to escape. And that thing only got stronger over time, and I think I learned to have a more healthy relationship with it. But I just think it's important to get it out, you know what I mean? And I think about something that my dad told me, and he's like told me this all my life, that he was just happy for me that I had this outlet. Because, you know, I think I'm just grateful that I do, because I think there are a lot of other things maybe I could have turned to. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful to have it.
Yeah. A means of expressing yourself is so important. And yeah, I read that you felt like you grew up very lonely and that you kind of found solace in other artists and their work. So to be able to turn around and then provide that for other people, I think is really an amazing thing. What are you trying to offer your fans in that sense?
Well, I think the things that I'm sharing in the music, like, yes, there's like the love side and the more like cerebral side of the writing. And then there's the person behind the songs that's gone through immense loss and trauma. And there are a lot of people out there who go through those things and they don't have anyone like out there to cling to. I remember like when my sister passed away and just trying to find stuff online, like any person that was talking about it, and it's so scarce. And I met somebody last night and their brother passed away last Friday, and just immediately, like, the world stopped for me. And, you know, I think that there's only so much one person could do. Like, the message is not like, there are different people for different messages. Mm-hmm. And I think it's not all of it, but part of mine is being there for people who go through real life experiences and to just know they're not, like, on the boat alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel that trauma is something that really locks us in a state of shame, of isolation, of fear. I think if you would have told me 4 years ago that there would be people who are looking at me and I'm looking at them and are like, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
You could have never told me that, because I just remember a time in my life where I just begged out to whatever, to God, to the universe, to not let this pain to go in vain. And I'm seeing that today. I'm seeing that it's not going in vain. You know, there'll never be a consolation for the losses we experience in mm-hmm. life, but it's the most real thing we're going to experience.
Yeah.
So I'm just happy to be able to be a part of the community that's being built for the people that need it.
Yeah. And I think that's the stakes of loving people, right? Is the flip side of losing that love or that person, or, you know, it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking a little bit about community and, you know, the way you're reaching people and you're having people come back to you. Sailor Song is your most recent track. It came out this summer, went super, super viral. And, you know, thanks to TikTok, and it is an amazing song. It is so worthy of all this attention. And it's great that this platform is helping it get to more people. What is it like to have a song of yours and then see so many people out there covering it and making it mm-hmm. their own and, you know, putting their own spin mm-hmm. on your art?
It's so crazy. I've seen some absolutely phenomenal people yeah. covering the song. I was like, okay. I'm like, you wrote the song.
Yeah, I'll just say that.
Yeah, it's so crazy. It's amazing. I've seen a string arrangement. I've seen, like, arrangements of the song. I recently saw, like, a video of, I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's an animation, and it's this little ball that goes on different kind of steps, and it goes like, dung, 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 dung. So it's like I don't know how to explain it. If you saw it, you mm-hmm. might know. But I've seen a lot of different ways people are interacting with the song through poetry, even like in grief ways too, which when I wrote the song, it wasn't from the perspective of a real person loss.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing it translated that way, I mean, there's just so many things full circle, and it means so many different things to so many people. Yeah. And that is astounding to me, because when I wrote it, I was in my bedroom probably like 6 months ago, and my little sister's walking through the hallway. She's like, Gigi, I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, that's really good. She's like, that's sick.
Got the little sister stamp of approval.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I was like, yeah, it's really cool. And then, you know, I started recording it, and I felt really just happy with it. You know, yeah. I feel like my expectations just in general in life or as a musician have shifted a lot in the past year. To a place where just the songs are everything to me. You know what I mean? And like, one person taking that and enjoying it means the exact same thing to me as this, earnestly. So
that's amazing. And you're gonna play Sailor Song for us today.
Yes, let's play it.
So excited to hear it in real life.
Saw her in the rightest way, looking like an Hathaway, laughing while she hid her pen and carved, and then she came up to my knees, begging, to me, oh, won't you kiss me? don't believe in God, but I believe that you're my savior. My mom said that she's worried, but I'm covered in his favor. And when we're getting dirty, I forget all that is wrong. I sleep so I can see you, cause I hate to wait so long. I sleep so I can see you, and I hate to wait so long. She took my fingers to her mouth, the kind of thing that makes you proud, that nothing else had ever worked out, and maybe I tried other things, but nothing can get sailor. And when you get a taste, can you tell me what's my flavor? I don't believe in God, but I believe that you're my savior. I know that you've been worried, but you're dripping in my favor. And when we're getting dirty, I forget all that is wrong. I sleep so I can see you, cause I hate to wait so long. I sleep so I can see, and I hate to wait so long. We can run away to the walls inside your house. I can be the cat, baby. You can be the mouse. We can laugh about things we know nothing about. We can go forever until you wanna sit it out.
I would cover it too if I knew how to play an instrument at all. I'll do it on recorder.
That's amazing.
That's about the only thing I've ever played in my life.
That's amazing.
So kind of the flip side of the internet, as we all know, is you get this real-time feedback and you're able to see all the people that you're reaching and you're totally connecting with. But on the flip side, there's all the people who feel compelled to share the not-so-great stuff and to put out opinions for some reason. How do you kind of deal with the flip side of the internet? And what advice do you have for not just artists, but young people to kind of, you know, for lack of a more current term, shake the haters off?
Yeah. It depends on the circumstance. One, I feel like I have a really great mentor in my life that I've had for a long time. And I think that that kind of leadership in my life really keeps my head on straight, you know, when I need it. I think one of the things that we talked about and just like codependency is that what other people think about you is none of your business. It's none of my business what people think about me. And I think that there's truth in that. But I think that there's also a lot of truth to be discussed. So I think that I try my best to use discernment and when to engage and when to not. Mm-hmm. Because I think that there are just certain things that there are real life stigmas that affect people and oppress people very negatively. And I want to be able to make sure that I approach those things with care, but also be honest about how I really feel and stand up for other people. Because it's not just like if somebody's saying something about Sailor Song or, you know, whatever it might be in the terms of hate, you know, but some people like a lot of people don't view specifically with Sailor Song the things that they say as hateful because it's behind another layer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not hateful to them. So where do you meet in the middle? Because I don't want to go off to this other side and just swing it back around, but I want to have a conversation if somebody's able to do that, because I feel like that's what we should be doing. I don't think it's just kind of like, okay, shut the laptop off. It's different if like they're saying things that are superficial about me, but these are very like serious topics that I feel like deserve to be discussed properly.
Yeah, because I think there was a line, right? It's, I don't believe in God, but I believe that you're my savior. And there was kind of a certain group of people who were very offended by that.
Yeah, I think that there's, I think that it's like one of the most beautiful things to, for something that, that means so much to me, for something that I've dealt with in my struggles with faith and with God and the concept of it. I think at the end of the day, like no one really knows, knows you. Like, and I think that there are so many things that led up to this moment in my life with this song and perception and people pleasing and, you know, just things that are not like aligned with who you know you are on the inside. And I think that there's something that, you know, and I have good people in my life that remind me, like, not everybody's going to understand you. And there are people who are never going to try to. And that's okay. Like, it's okay. Do I get frustrated sometimes? Yes. And I'm going to continue to, because I'm human. Anybody would. Because I think just the concept of, like, mass attention on anyone, it's like there is like, an unnatural human aspect to that.
Oh, my gosh.
But that doesn't mean that you can't have the right tools to be able to handle it, you know? So that's just what I'm looking for now.
Yeah, and I'm thinking specifically of Chapel Roan, who, you know, had this, like, insane rise so quickly and is kind of reckoning with these insane demands and expectations and pressure. So it's like finding ways to stay grounded.
Right, exactly. And I every single artist has the absolute right to say how they feel in whatever ways they wish to interact with the audiences or just with the world in general. You know what I mean? Because it's a cliche, but truly until you understand and walk in somebody's shoes, it's very hard to judge accurately and righteously.
Absolutely. We're all coming from different perspectives, different backgrounds, dealing with different feelings, different scenarios. Like everyone's got their own stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very recently, you signed with Island Records. Congratulations. How, you know, do you, when you're looking for a label or labels are looking at you, how do you find one that's the right fit? Because I feel like it's a relationship, right? 100%.
If there's anything I could tell an artist, is just take your time to get to know who you're going to be with, because, you know, depending on what the situation is, you know, you're going to be with them. You know what I mean? It's a partnership.
Yeah.
And it needs to be viewed as such. You know, I think that deals are changing a lot in the favor of the artist, and they should. There should just be more equal playing ground. And I think a lot of artists just don't go in knowing, because you don't have a point of reference. And then there's like this weirdness to where like it's hard to make friends in the business, surprisingly, or like you'll have friends in other areas, but you don't have artist friends. Like this year recently, I just started really feeling like I am building friendships, you know what I mean? And I, you know, my first few years, you know, when I was originally signed prior, I was just very like isolating, you know? And so it's good to reach out. So I tell artists to reach out to other people, do your research, but most importantly, like follow your intuition, because you will just know. And it has to be like in the relationship sense, you know, like forget about the paper, and that's important too, because you need a great attorney.
Yeah.
I will give a masterclass someday. If you need me, I got you. But we'll get into it. I promise.
I know.
We'll get into it.
Don't sign anything without
Come
reading
on, you
it.
Guys, you have to show me the contract.
Oh, God. Let's talk about Please Be Rude. It's part of like this next series of songs.
Please Be Rude is my favorite song.
Your favorite song?
Yeah, I think it's one of my favorite songs I've ever written. I don't know what it was, but I found this tuning more so recently. And it's like, I'm kind of like stuck in that tuning lane right now because I keep finding stuff that I really like. But it's a song that I wrote from a place of just that like longing, that like when you're with that person, like you just like look at them and like there's this almost like unspoken banter. I don't know how to explain it. Like this kind of like, I don't know. I honestly, the song explains it because I can't. if that
makes
sense.
To the song. Yeah,
yeah, let's just listen to the song.
That's the point of the song too. It's like art to say the things that cannot be spoken.
Exactly. But that was my first self-produced song and recorded.
That's amazing.
So it was just such an amazing feeling making it and just accomplishment. Like I can't, like a year ago today, I think I just started really taking recording and production seriously. So when I put that out, it was amazing. And then I met this amazing friend of mine now who, she's a Sims creator in London.
Oh my gosh.
L Sims. and we had met online and I joined her Discord and we made this Sims video for Please Be Rude. That's like the official music video. And it was just like, I've never had more fun. It's just That's a song amazing. That just feels like amazing because when I listened to it, once it was recorded, I was like, I don't know why I'm seeing The Sims 2, like, emo music videos from, like, the 2010s. Mm-hmm. I just saw it, and I was like, we have to do that. And then I met Elle, and it was done.
The internet giveth.
Yeah, and it taketh.
And it taketh. Congratulations on everything. Congratulations on all the music you've been putting out. This community that is recognizing your talents. And on Sailor Song, which is in the Billboard Hot 100. It's Crazy. Charting in the UK. I think it's top 10 in Spotify.
So ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, what is it doing?
Like, what is happening?
I'm literally so confused.
Well, I think there's like lots more good things ahead. So thank you so much for being here. Thanks for gracing our studio here at FUV.
Thank you for having me. It's such an honor. Thank you.
Yeah. Come back soon. Please Be Rude. Intro it for us.
This is my song, Please Be Rude.
That was Gigi Perez performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A huge thank you to Gigi for joining us in our studio and to Island Records. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, and Olivia Grant. Our FUV Live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Simone Yanez and Catherine Sherman. I'm Megan Aftermat, and I produced this episode. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. And if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. Our host for this episode was Sam Sumpter.